Montana's moving into new territory for the new year, legalizing adult-use recreational marijuana. It's going to grow into a $250 million industry and taxed, probably taxed some more, to the tune of $50 million annually. That train's moving, and it was a citizens' initiative that got it going, got it over the finish line, but the job of regulating and appropriating and policymaking, well, that fell on our state legislature. And with our appreciation, two state senators involved in the rulemaking process have joined us for a discussion on what a marijuana Montana is going to look like. Democratic State Senator Shane Morajow and Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth. I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and feel free to contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, it's not like they are, this is not the pros and cons of marijuana. We did that quite a bit leading up to the election. It's one of these issues I didn't think was really covered very well. And I went under the radar a little bit with the big election for 2020, and now we have it. I looked at some of these county results, and I'm just doing that this morning, and it kind of took more time than I thought. The bill was passed overall 5743, I-90 for recreational marijuana. It was a 70-page piece of legislation, or a ballot measure, I should say. And how much of that was in that ballot measure? I mean, it tried to appropriate funds for conservation and for veterans. And again, I think as we have talked, that was sort of none of that is binding, really. The idea behind that is to go, well, you know, if we legalize marijuana, here is the tax benefits, and here's where that money can go. You know, conservation and veterans, and who's going to say no to that? The BBER, as I talked yesterday, has done a study on this. This next year, they're expecting $187 million in sales, just residents alone. And then the non-resident, the leisure visitors, as they say, are going to kick in another $30 million in marijuana purchases for a total of $217 million. And that's revenue to the state, $43 million. By 2026, they're expecting $260 million in annual sales. That's combined residents and visitors for $52 million in taxes. Where's that money going to go? I think those are questions that need to be answered, and some of them, a lot of them have been answered. But I think we talk about the cultural change that is coming here. And this is where we look at these counties. You have no counties. There's 29 counties out of 56 in Montana that voted no on this. And most of them are in eastern Montana. Beaverhead County, this was real close. This is western Montana County, Broadwater as well. Beaverhead County was 50-49. That's a difference of 27 votes. But there are large margins, especially in eastern Montana. Macomb County, 68-31 against legalized recreational marijuana. Petroleum County, 66-33. Out of a total, now those are very small counties, and that's the thing here. Out of a total of 342 votes cast in Petroleum County, they said no. They said no to this what really is a cultural change, and that's probably selling it a little bit short, okay? Prairie County, there were 729 total votes, 65-34, not in favor of. Almost all of those 29 counties, their votes could not surpass the margins won for this measure in Gallatin County and also in Missoula County. So you look at our two major university counties, and they pretty much those counties, all the yes votes wiped out all the no votes in these 29 counties, predominantly in eastern Montana. I think that's significant, and I think that's one of the things that our legislature tried to address as well. Who really wants recreational marijuana in their communities, in their counties? And a little bit of the why, but they couldn't really get into that, and I can appreciate that. So let's welcome our first guest, and I just wanted to set that up a little bit. We have Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth, who's been with us before, President Pro Temp for the 2021 session. Talked a lot about broadband. We might get into that as well. And good morning, Senator Ellsworth. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm hanging, and I appreciate you being here. And also, your friend, State Senator Shane Morajow, who's a Democrat from Senate District 48, both members of the Economic Affairs Interim Committee. And that was, you know, this whole policy writing process for this $250 million annual industry, I'm sure was rather, rather taxing, if I may use the pun. But good morning, Shane. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. Open discussion. I really don't have a ton of specific questions, but let's just start with you, Shane, and getting when you took on this process. First, it came out of the legislature, and both you guys were involved in that. What was your sense as a state lawmaker in trying to craft legislation that at least, you know, it was the will of the people, certainly not all of the people, as I mentioned here in that setup, what was your thinking? What were you guys trying to accomplish, Shane?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, it seemed like we had a car parked out front of the building. Someone had pulled a car up for us, but didn't put gas in it, didn't give us the keys, needed a tire rotation, needed all the maintenance, essentially. And so when we got that vehicle, you know, our task was to make sure that that legislation or that ballot initiative, what was put into that worked for Montana. So, you know, there was a lot of things in there that gave us, you know, the landscape for kind of filling in the gaps. But really, we had to get to work to make sure that it did work for every single county in Montana, that we were putting really developing the regulations and help giving guidance on the regulations for the agencies to be able to actually regulate this industry, so that it's, you know, safe for Montanans to use, but also where we're regulating the industry, protecting Montanans from having, you know, black markets and crime come into the state. So, you know, I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that. But, you know, like you said, this is a big industry. You know, we've done our best to try and push something through to roll out the rules and regulations in a short time frame. And, you know, we expect there will probably be things that we need to work on and fix still. So we're realistic on that front. But, yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people put a lot of hard work in, made a big push here to make sure that Montana is ready to roll out when January comes.
Senate District 48 in the Missoula County area, State Senator Shane Morajow is a Democrat, and Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth just south in Hamilton, Senate District 43. And Jason, your comments as you kind of glance back at the passage of this legislation, then you knew what was coming. You knew the task. The legislature, I think, addressed it pretty straightforward. You know, kind of look back on that process as to where we are today and give us some thoughts.
Well, I would agree with the good senator, except it wasn't really a car they left us. It was a semi-truck.
It was
and
big, yeah.
Didn't have any wheels, didn't have a drivetrain. It was just there, and we had to look at it. And I guess, you know, on a micro level is actually the approach that we took. So we didn't look at it as just a pure statewide issue. We really broke it down kind of county by county. And that was one of the driving forces that I wanted to put in the legislation is that, you know, if a county didn't want it, you know, first off, if they didn't vote for it, it's not in their county. And then also have the flexibility that, you know, if they did vote for it, they could also, you know, get it out of their county at a later point, or if they felt that they wanted to participate at a later point, they also have that option. So, you know, it was truly a moving target and will continue to be, you know, I think for years to come. You know, it's a new market for us, and we want to make sure that it's safe for consumers out there, and, you know, safe for our children. And, you know, we have other states that we can see where there's, you know, failures and successes. And I guess that is one advantage that we do have is we're not first. So we can kind of look at those other states and say, you know, what can we learn from them? And then how can we make sure that we do have as much guardrails as possible in this legislation? So that's what we're tasked with currently. And I think we're doing a good job in a bipartisan way to make sure that, you know, the citizens of Montana, their voices are heard, and that we also take into account the future.
I want to go play off of that State Senator Shane Morajo. There were some models out there, as Jason Ellsworth had referenced. How much did that play a part in crafting Montana's legislation?
Well, you know, I would say that we, when we had that ballot initiative, you know, I don't know what those particular individuals, what states they look to. I'm sure they look to all of the different states and tried to, like as Senator Ellsworth, you know, talking to some of them actually through the legislative session. I know they tried to craft something based off of what some other states had done, but they wanted to make it Montana specific. And a pretty big example of that was, you know, Montana's pretty strong, passionate, I should say, about our public lands. And, you know, we made sure that that revenue was going into, you know, the HEART program in Montana for healing and addiction. $6 million must be transferred into that every year. We made sure we're putting 20% into the Department of Fish and Wildlife and Parks for wildlife habitat, you know, 4% for state parks, 4% of the revenue for trails and recreation facilities, 4% for non-game wildlife. And, you know, so we also put money in to make sure we're retraining canines because drug dogs basically they can't untrain them to not smell marijuana. So we had to put money in to retrain them. So there's some things that we did that are very specific to Montana. And to be honest, we had a pretty robust medical industry in Montana, and we had some folks that were working within that industry that had put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in their businesses, who were doing a very good job of making sure that their customers were getting, you know, marijuana products that were safe. And so a lot of them would, you know, I can hear them in my mind if they were, and I'm sure some of them are listening to us today. But, you know, I can hear them in my mind saying, you know, we put a lot of work into making sure that this is going to be a safe industry for Montanans, and that we are protecting everybody. And I know they genuinely have worked hard on that, listening to them throughout the process.
And we've got to take a break up here, but we'll come on back and talk more about those mechanisms that will be in place to help ensure that it is a safer industry. But also, let's just go to some of those basic questions, too, like who can buy it and who can sell it? And, I mean, where are they going to smoke it and who's going to haul it? And a lot of those basic questions to be pondered here as we talk about this birth of new industry in Montana, recreational. It's legalized recreational marijuana, $250 million annual industry. How do we protect the resources as well from the feds? Because it's illegal on that level, too. We're back with more from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Jason Ellsworth and Shane Morajo.
This holiday season, give a memorable gift from Montana. The Montana Historical Society not only features amazing made-in-Montana gifts in person, but you can shop and order online. Give the gift of Montana's story with books like A History of Montana in 101 Objects or a leather-bound limited edition of Montana's Charlie Russell. The Montana Historical Society. Big sky, big land, big history. Visit mhs.mt.gov.
I mean, this begins on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2021, adult use recreational marijuana. Sales, possession, how much can you possess? I know it's, welcome back. If from another news network, it's Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz talking about this new industry. And again, I say the term new industry, but there's so much that is wrapped up into – it's really a cultural change. It's a financial change for us as well. Of course, you know, now that they've printed a ton of money and passed out money left and right, it's not ARPA funds, it's DARPA funds. We're spending our kids' fortunes lately. The tax revenues that would have come in don't – maybe not right this point – seem to play as huge a part. But I do think that as they crafted this legislation, they took into consideration how much they were going to get and try to parse it out, hopefully pretty equally. We're talking about that here today. You can join us at 781-627-5483. That's the text line, or the phone line is 866-627-5483. Get to some basic questions here. Joining us, and again, our thanks, Democratic State Senator Shane Morgeau, Senate District 48, was a previous Democratic candidate for state auditor and a member of the Salish and Kootenai tribe. Comes out of the Missoula area, and just south of him, Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth, Hamilton, Senate District 43, President Pro Temp for the 2021 session. And I think, as we have joked in the past, Jason, an Irishman, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's start with who can sell it? How is this going to work for, as an industry? Go ahead,
well,
Jason.
I guess, yeah. First off, I think this is an important thing that we did for the state is we recognize that, you know, we did have a intact medical marijuana, you know, industry, and wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't want to see a whole bunch of new shops opening up, a whole bunch of people from even out of state and, you know, come in and open up these shops everywhere. So we put a 1.5-year moratorium, and that will begin January 1st for existing facilities. So they're the only ones that can be licensed. You can't create a new license and can't have somebody come in and actually do have residency requirements in there for ownership. That was a very important, I think, role and key in this legislation and saying, you know, let's let the people that put the hard work into this to begin with on the medical side participate if they so choose in these counties that did vote for it, and, you know, leave it there so it didn't become this animal that quickly got out of control, because that was my concern, is, you know, it getting out of control and then, you know, of course, we're not in session for another year, so we've got to be careful that, you know, it does launch as best as possible for the citizens of Montana, and that, you know, it doesn't have this huge rapid growth, you know, especially from kind of out-of-state interests. I think that was an important factor for all of us.
I think a lot of people appreciated that approach as well. It may have left some areas short, so to speak, and also, will that approach meet the immediate need? Let's ask that for a question of Democratic State Senator Shane Morgeau.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think the approach that we've taken, well, I expect it to meet the immediate needs of Montanans. After all, you know, we have the framework there with the ballot initiative. You know, Montanans overwhelmingly voted for marijuana, and so, you know, we're listening to them. You know, I think marijuana did better than any candidate on the Montana statewide ballot last election cycle. So it was very popular throughout the state of Montana.
It was not throughout the state, though, of Montana. I know you guys tried to address that, but it was passed by 82,000 votes, and over half of those votes came from Gallatin and Missoula County. So, and I think you guys tried to address that as well. And maybe go into that a little bit, Shane, as to how counties now have options when it comes to at least approving what? Approving the sale of, approving the use of recreational marijuana in their particular counties?
Yeah, so good question. And I think, you know, one of the things that for me, when we look at the overall numbers, it did do overwhelmingly well across the state of Montana for, and I know you're saying not in every single county. Yes, agreed. I totally agree with you on that front. Some counties voted against it. And how we addressed that in the state legislature is we said, okay, if your county voted against this, you have to opt in to the industry. So businesses can't open up in those counties. In order for sales to happen in that particular county, the county would have to vote to allow business to basically open up shop there. And I think that was I think for us, that was a fair way of approaching that, because it addressed the counties that said, hey, we didn't vote for this. We don't want that here. Okay, well, we're listening to you. Let's do this. So that's how we ended up landing on that particular issue.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I got to take a news break, and then we'll come on back with more. I got a question lining up here on the text line as well as on the phone line, but still a lot more basic information to cover, because there's you know, selling it, but there's also growing it. And then there's also shipping it. And in Montana's approach, those things can be entirely separate. So that ahead, as we talk with Democratic State Senator Shane Morjo and Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth on the financial and cultural path in 2022 for the new recreational marijuana industry in Montana. Here's Brian Bennett.
Out here in Montana, our pets are just like family. Did you know secondhand smoke puts your pet's life at risk? It can cause cancer, tumors, breathing problems, and other diseases. So quitting doesn't just help you. It helps keep your pets alive and healthy. Call the Montana Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or go to quitnowmontana.com for free help. You can do it, and your pets will thank you. Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services.
Right back into it. And again, thank you for being here. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana, chatting with Democratic State Senator Shane Morjo, Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth as well. Both worked in a bipartisan fashion as members of the Economic Affairs Interim Committee, the Legislative Interim Committee, and they had to work with the Montana Department of Revenue to initiate this policy. All right, let's go back. State Senator Morjo, again, thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt that last. I appreciate the opt-in for counties that voted no. Let's talk about how this is separated in terms of who can buy it, who can sell it. Well, not the who can buy it, but who can grow it, who can ship it. How does that work?
Yeah, so the way Montana has basically set this up is that we've created different licenses for all of these portions of the industry. So, you know, the way the medical marijuana industry used to work is that they did all of it, right? They cultivated, they manufactured, they transported, did the dispensaries, and then you also had the testing laboratories in the mix there, testing the products, making sure they were safe from mold and other contaminants. And so now, right now, all those folks have to basically have those individual licenses. And moving on into the future, after that moratorium is up that Senator Ellsworth mentioned, those licenses will be individually available for cultivators, manufacturers, dispensaries, transporters, and also laboratories. In Montana right now, you can possess up to, you can use, possess, obtain, ingest, inhale, and transport up to 1 ounce as an individual, except you can't have more than 8 grams in a concentrated form or 800 milligrams of THC in an edible product. So people have to take that into consideration when you have that on you. If it's more than an ounce, it falls into this realm of 1 to 2 ounces, which becomes a subject to civil penalties under Montana law. And anything above 2 ounces is technically subject to felony prosecution in Montana. So people should just be very aware of that. If people have questions, the Department of Revenue does have a very good Q&A section on their website. And if you just typed in Department of Revenue Marijuana Montana, you'll see all of that on there. And if you're really curious and you want to look through the Montana code, you can go to Title 16, Chapter 12, and you can see the personal use levels under that particular law. As far as the seeds and allowable plants, an individual can have 2 mature marijuana plants and 2 seedlings. Registered cardholders under the medical cardholder program in Montana can have 4 mature plants and 4 seedlings. The caveat to that is that you can't have more than 4 in a household. So, you know, you can't have 10 people living there and just have, you know, 50 plants growing in your house. You have to, there is a cap for that. So, again, you can see all of this under the personal use and cultivation statute under Montana law, and then also go to the Department of Revenue cannabis control website.
Thank you. A short segment there. We'll come right on back after a news break here for some stations as well and talk more about this issue. Just kind of the X's and O's. We line up some calls. We got some text messages. State Senators Jason Ellsworth, Republican, Democrat Shane Morjo here on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You know, it's hard to remember last year's gifts, but the things we do remember are more important. Things like family dinner. So this year, why don't you give your family something they'll remember? Something they'll ask for every year. Or maybe even every night. Beef. It's What's for Dinner.
Brought to you by Montana Beef Producers and Checkoff Dollars.
Let's get into more of the X's and O's as we talk with Democratic State Senator Shane Morjo, Senate District 48, Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth, Hamilton District 43. He's also served as the president pro temp of the 2021 session. Senator Ellsworth, again, thank you both for being here. I just want to follow up a little bit. As we went to that break, Senator Morjo was talking about some of those restrictions that were put in place to where for individual use and personal carry, it's under an ounce, you know, how many plants you can have. What went into determining that those factors are good both for in making or at least ensuring the mandate that was set out by the people, but also ensuring that there are proper guardrails on this legislation?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great point. And, you know, we did look at the ballot initiative. Unfortunately, when you see a ballot initiative, though, and what you're voting on, a lot of times, well, what you are seeing on your ballot is a, you know, a short synopsis. And then the ballot initiative itself, being rather large, kind of went into the minutiae and details. And I think a lot of people didn't look kind of into those details. And then our job in the state legislature is to look into those details, make sure that the intent is being followed. And that's where we came up with, you know, the limits. Again, 1 ounce, anything 1 ounce and under, you know, you can have in your possession. Also, if it's over an ounce, you know, you could be subject to civil penalties. And then anything over 2 ounces actually would be a felony. And I think that was an important distinction that did set the guardrails. And then it also talks about where that needs to be, that it needs to be locked up like in a glove box, not readily accessible if it's in your vehicle. And then, you know, if you're out on the streets, you know, you can be subject to civil fines. You know, we respect people's privacy, and that's an important value, I think, across the state. So, you know, what people do in their house, I think that's one thing, and then what they're, you know, doing out in the public is totally different, and we did address that as well.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that here as well in terms of enforcing when people are under the influence illegally. But let's go to the phone lines. Casey's been hanging on. Appreciate that. Casey listens in Great Falls on KQDI, 1450 AM. And Casey, again, thanks for standing by. You're on the air with Senators Ellsworth and Morjo.
Yeah, I think this whole question needs to be readdressed by the next legislative session, because I think it's premature in that the federal government has not mandated or passed the legal restrictions or done away with their legal restrictions, and they can use that as a kind of a secret hand to come in and prosecute people. I don't know if that was even looked into in this bill.
That's a really great question, and I want to get to that. And Shane, let's have you address that as well, because I talked about this yesterday, where it's still illegal, a federal one, schedule one drug on the federal side of things. The Fed's official line is, well, look the other way. But that's going to conflict with this state statute. And so, as Casey's pointing out here, the Feds still have the authority to come in and then confiscate the entire industry, the wealth and the resources. And that is going to deal a blow eventually, especially if we're depending on the $50 million a year for some of these industries as a tax base. Was that addressed?
You know, this has been a point of consternation for a lot of us. You know, the federal government still does have marijuana listed as a Schedule I drug. But the federal government has, taken steps to push out memos to say essentially, hey, we're going to be hands off with states. We're going to let you guys determine what you want to do with marijuana. And the piece of me inside is like, that's great. States, you know, I am a strong believer in states being able to make our choices. But, you know, I think what's still hanging out there is like, if a memo, it could change from administration to administration. And so, you know, right now I think the federal government, has signaled we're not going to do anything. As of January, of last year, they put out a memo, saying, you know, we're going to be hands off with states on this particular matter. And again, that's one of those things, if you're really interested in looking at this particular issue, you can go and look at, you can actually, Google like interim guidance on prosecutorial discretion, for charging and those sorts of things. And you can see, where the government has essentially taken a stance on being hands off on this, but you know, it's still up in the air and it still is a Schedule I drug. And that is, does prohibit it from being transferred across state lines throughout the United States. And so people need to be mindful of that because they could be subject to federal prosecution still, if they go outside of Montana.
Let me address, and thank you, Shane, for that. I appreciate that, too. There's something out there, court precedents known as reliance interest. You can look into that. It came out specifically during the DACA discussions. That's the illegal immigration discussion regarding, between the transitions from the Obama administration to the Trump administration. That sets a precedence for at least some surety about this. But I wouldn't trust the feds on this. Hopefully that's addressed. Next, go back to the text line now. And Senator Jason Ellsworth from Senate District 43, take this one. It would seem that any county that doesn't want marijuana sold in their county should not benefit from any tax money that is raised from the sale of it.
Yeah, and I would say that that's a valid point. So most importantly in this legislation is what we did allow is for a 3% local option tax for the counties that did allow this. And so they can have that 3% local option tax, and that can be used to cover their costs, for enforcement and what have you. On the kind of the statewide level, then, you have the 20% tax. And what's more, it's very interesting because you cannot bind a future legislature to what you do in a previous session. So this is always going to be a moving target. So what we do with those funds at a later point will be up to a future legislature. So we allocated based off of, and we really did look at the ballot initiative and then what the needs were going to be. We don't know how much money that's going to be. Truly don't know until it's done. Then, you know, the future legislature, they will get to determine where that money goes. And I think that's an important thing for citizens to understand is you cannot bind a future legislature. So it is up to the next session for them to change those allocations if they so choose.
Yeah. Shane and I were talking to, and I think, Shane, you had mentioned it as well. You had to create something that was pretty good, but you didn't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good. And so you guys, I think that as a legislature, as a body, realize that you can take another whack at this as needed. We'll see how this works out. Let's take a quick call from Chris listening in Columbia Falls on that huge signal up there, KOFI, 1180 AM. Chris, I'm going to run out of time. So I know you've got a comment for Shane and Jason.
Yeah, I go back to the 60s, you know, when with the Timothy Leary wrote that book.
Oh, yeah.
We used to try to stop it way back then. But if your citizens out there look up the Lobby Act, and this is what they do. They go lobby, they keep pressing and pressing, and they never quit. You know, Ronald Reagan said this. He summed it up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. What you're saying here with the money and all of this stuff that's thrown in here, it just shows another breakdown in our system. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. So, I mean, I don't know why you think you need to just compromise, you know, our constitution, our way of life for this kind of nonsense. You know, people out there evidently need this stuff to prop themselves up every morning. And I've lived 82 years. I haven't done that at all, and I know a lot of people have not done that. You need to consider this stuff. But now you put it in the arena where you want to debate this and discuss this, and you never stop.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate those comments, Chris. And unfortunately,
Actually like to say something to that.
Okay, Jason.
And Chris, I would agree with you 100%. So, but what we do have in this state, and I think this is vital, is we have the power as citizens to do an initiative. And it's such a great power that we do have. And it takes the role of government back to the people. And the people did pass initiative I-90. And we, in turn, said, hold on, you know what, we need to go in there and make sure the guardrails are in there, that it's the right thing for Montana and that the will of the people is being met. So we do have a constitutional responsibility, and I would agree with you 100%, to make sure that the will of the people is met. And it's a slippery road always. And I think the less laws we have, the freer of a society we are. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, too. The fact that we're a representative republic, I really like when that works. We've had politics that, quote unquote, that some people take as a religion and some people take it as a battlefield. And that makes it difficult to make that representative republic work. But I think this is an example of that for, as you mentioned, the will of the people. Let's take a quick break and we'll come on back. We've got another phone call lined up here if we have time. It's State Senator Jason Ellsworth and also Democratic State Senator Shane Morajo with us here. Still some X's and O's that we might need to get to, but obviously it's coming here, 2022. It's a new path, a new culture for the state of Montana here on Voices of Montana.
No matter how far you may go, there's always one just down the road.
Tell them who, pump it up.
Pump it up.
Got hunger pangs and in a hurry? Stop by your local town pump. Grab a large pumper fountain drink for only $1.29. Goes great with Jack Link Jerky 2.85 ounces for $4.99. Town pump, convenient and right down the road.
Town.
All right, welcome back. Lightning round here, and just barely enough time to ask a couple of questions. I'm going to have to continue this conversation tomorrow. So the phone calls, I know people have been trying to get through. Our phone lines have been busy. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. Not sure if Jason and Shane are going to be available for that, but we're going to talk more about this because it's obviously very important for Montana. Quick question from Pat and Jason Ellsworth, State Senator, and also State Senator Shane Morajo alongside here. And Pat wants to know, basically, the other side of it here, employees, are they going to be able to ask for testing, urine testing? And what about testing on the potency of these? Who wants to take that one?
I'll take that one if you don't mind. So first off, a business can, as they currently can, they can test, and if they find that somebody is with, and they're private businesses, so we did not interject ourselves into private business, and if their policy is a no-drug policy, and they're found to have this through their testing mechanism, then they have the right to, terminate that employment. And I think that's a wonderful thing that we actually did put in there. And left intact that, we didn't mess around with private industry at all. Private businesses and the policies that they have in place can stay in place.
Shane, I'm out of time here. Sorry about that, you guys. Any final thoughts in 15 seconds or less?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, just be aware of the rules and laws. If you're, you know, curious, go look. You know, I'm a strong believer in individual choice. You know, Montanans, if you want to use it, that's your choice. If you don't, you know, don't use it. We just need to continue to do everything we can to educate folks and make sure they understand the risks and what the industry is. So we'll keep working hard on our end.
Thank you. I know you guys put a lot of work into it. I appreciate that effort as well. And thanks again. We'll talk to you down the road.
I've been shooting since I was young. It's something I've always enjoyed. I wasn't feeling like myself, and my friend noticed. He asked if he could hold onto my guns temporarily. At first, I was a little shocked, but then I agreed. I think he saved my life that day.
Reach the Montana Suicide Prevention Lifeline anytime at 800-273-TALK or text MT to 741-741. I got to thank our guest from yesterday for being willing and being available to come back on today, because I know we left a little bit off the table. Democratic State Senator Shane Morajow with us again, Senate District 48, Missoula area. Good morning, Shane. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And State Senator Jason Ellsworth, the recent president pro temp for the 2021 session, a Hamilton Republican, Senate District 43. And Jason, how about you? Thanks for coming back, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
I'm just going to start off. I got a couple of things here that I felt were sort of left off our plate a little bit, but I'm just going to start off. Shane, we'll go to you first. Was there anything, as we were talking yesterday, to get the public more aware of how Montana is going to be moving forward in this new, quote-unquote, age of marijuana? What were some of your impressions that perhaps we needed to get out there that we didn't yesterday?
You know, I think we need to find a way to get more information out generally to the public about, you know, what the rules are going to be. And, you know, that's going to take some work working with media type folks, the state of Montana, putting more information out. I know that we have information out there on like the public website, talking about, you know, the amounts you can possess, where you have to hold it, you know, all the different things that you should be aware of. To ensure that you don't get in trouble. But, you know, these sorts of things, like talking on the radio, right, are great ways to get information out to folks and make sure that they're aware, like, hey, there are rules around marijuana, the amounts you can have, how you possess them, the plants you can have at your home, the number of plants. So, you know, and I think as it becomes legal here in January 1, right, I think people are going to start to really pay much more close attention to those rules, because they can actually physically go and get it at that point.
Are there shops opening up January 1 anywhere?
Shops can open starting January of 2022. So I would expect, and Senator Ellsworth could probably chime in on this as well, but all those industries that were in the marijuana industry prior, there, as we talked in the last show, they're essentially grandfathered in. There's a moratorium for the first 18 months starting in January. And most of those businesses that were in the medical marijuana industry were already, you know, operating. They were doing the growing, the manufacturing. They were doing the dispensaries. So I would expect that many of them will be ready to go. You know, will all of them be ready? I don't know. We'd have to talk to each individual business on that front.
You know, and I've done a little bit of talking with some of the providers and their medical marijuana providers, and they're not exactly sure they're going to get into the recreational aspect of this, although it's pretty enticing. State Senator Jason Ellsworth. Jason, was there anything left off the table? That's the first question for you as well, as we're talking about it. I think Shane made a good point about getting public information out there. Just a retrospect. We have a short segment here today as well, so I want to get those things off your plate on the air real quick.
Yeah, I would say that I'm going to echo a lot of what Shane did say about, you know, people getting educated. There's the Montana Cannabis Control Division. They have a website. You can go to that website. You can look at, you know, different rules that are out there. I think the fundamentals and the basics, if you're just talking about, you know, making sure you're not committing a crime, you know, keep it under an ounce. I mean, not a complicated piece of math there. Make sure that, you know, if you're going to grow at home and you know, you have two, no more than two plants and then two seedlings and then four for the entire household. But I guess more on the political side of things is this is truly about, you know, keeping things local and local control. So, and if you have a county that's, you know, wants to opt out of this program, or opt in for that fact, I prefer the opt out method personally, just the way I feel. You know, your county elected officials can, the commissioners can get this on the ballot, and you have an opportunity to re-vote for this. And if your county doesn't believe that it's the right thing, or could be the right thing, you know, you can always opt in, opt out. And I think that's an important fact that everybody just needs to realize that that is, there's always an exit strategy, or an on-ramp, I guess, either way. So I think that's the important aspect of this that needs to be an ongoing conversation.
I need to make a correction. There is, it's even split between green counties and red counties, as they call them, 28 and 28. One county in particular just recently, December 23rd, flipped to a green county, and that was Dawson County, where they had originally rejected the initial ballot, I-90, pull that up here, 53-46. But one of the growers there, because they had invested in this, and this is what I understand and I sort of worry about, because we still have it illegal as a Schedule One drug on the Fed side of things, but gathered signatures, put it on a special election, and flipped the county to green by 55% to 45%. So, you know, interesting there that, yes, and we're about that in this state, that local control is very, very important to us. State Senator Shane Morajow, Jason Ellsworth as well with us, Democrat, Republican, respectively, on Voices of Montana, Tom Schultz alongside. I want to a couple of questions that I still think I need to get out there, and we're going to run out of time, obviously. But how are businesses, what do we leave off the table when it comes to how businesses are going to be able to deal with enforcing and making sure that their employees are not high on the job? Who wants to take that, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, I think Senator Ellsworth hit on this yesterday.
Yep.
Employers still have the ability to, you know, oversee their employees, ensure that they're, you know, not drunk on the job, not high on the job. So none of that has changed with private business.
But how can they test them? Let me ask this. They have the ability, but how can they test them? Because you could do a marijuana test, but marijuana stays in your system for 30 days or more. So how do they prove that somebody is, you know, you can smoke it legally. How do you prove that they were smoking it on the job?
Yeah, I think that the levels will be higher in their system. This is actually a fairly complicated area, and probably could be its own show on its own, because I think, you know, even when we talk about DUI laws, you know, the whole, even alcohol testing can be very difficult to prove in court. And I've actually done trials on a DUI trial with alcohol before. So they're very hard. The test can be, that's in a different context though, in criminal law. We're talking about private businesses, you know, controlling their business and having an interest there and making sure that people are, you know, doing the work safely at their point of business. So yeah, you still have the ability to do that. Are there going to be challenges with, you know, the levels and detection? Yes. But I also think the technology is getting better there. But I think that is going to be a point of discussion moving forward, I'm sure, for private business on how to best go about that.
Yeah. Jason, do you want to follow up on that? I mean, it is really difficult at this point. And that will probably change the ball or the goalposts when it comes to I think stuff like this is going to end up in court.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that, you know, courts will get involved, and, you know, it's unfortunate. But that is with any kind of new industry, and especially, you know, controversial one like this. This is not going to be very difficult, though, because in the bill it is specific And that is that, you know, private businesses have those protections. So, you know, the language isn't that difficult. I would imagine any good attorney is going to try to tear that apart. But I think if we as a people, you know, keep together on the process and, you know, ultimately what's in there, it, you know, it will go through its trials and tribulations. But again, it will, you know, ultimately serve the people.
Yeah. And I appreciate that too. I mean, let's, we're going to have to walk it out a little bit. I know I was going to have you guys on. Go ahead.
Yeah, there. I mean, that's just anybody that thinks that we're not going to have problems, you know, going through this process, you know, is, I think, a little not in touch with reality. There is going to be problems. We are talking about a, you know, Schedule I drug. You know, we're talking about something that does affect your mind. You know, this was put in front of the citizens, though. And that's what I just remind everybody is we didn't pass a law. The citizens actually passed that initiative. And then we did our best to try to clean that up and make sure it was something that was workable for the citizens. You know, I didn't vote for it at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I respect the citizens' will. And you know what? If our federal government did that more often, I think we would be in a better place. So that's kind of where I am.
All in all, I think we can handle this. But it is a Pandora's box, and this is why it's such an important conversation to have as we walk forward in this. And, yeah, we're going to walk into a little muck here and there, but let's keep our eyes focused down the road. And you know, we adopted some bad habits in this society before we learned to deal with those consequences. I got to take a break, and if you guys would just stand for another 5 minutes or so, I appreciate your time here. Shane Morrow and State Senator Jason Ellsworth back with more Voices in Bed.
If you enjoy the simple pleasure of wrapping your fingers around a nice, warm cup of tea, or you know someone that does, I've got a great gift idea for you. Tumblewood Teas in Big Timber. Risa Gilpin and Lori Runney were recently recognized as community heroes on the Tow Rope Tour. And I will tell you, their teas are infused with every bit of passion and flavor that these two women bring. Give yourself or your neighbor a cup of comfort. Ask for Tumblewood Teas where you buy groceries or head to tumblewoodteas.com.
It's a hot button. I think there's a lot of people wondering how we are going to handle it. I think, well, I guess I'm just saying, my opinion is, there's a lot of dangers. There's a lot of twists and turns in the roadway ahead. I think we can look back at certain areas and certain states that have done this before and maybe try to avoid some of those pitfalls. But again, we're going to walk it out as Montanans. And I appreciate it. I have a lot of faith and confidence in our society here in this great treasure state. We're back talking with State Senator Shane Morrow, Senate District 48 out of Western Montana in Missoula area. South of him, Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth as well. Let's take a quick call because Mike is calling, listening in Vaughn. I assume it's on Great Falls, this KQDI. But Mike, thanks. You're on the air for a comment with Shane and Jason.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking the call. Just a couple of comments, and I realize that the people did vote for this, and, you know, the horses are kind of out of the barn now, and you're not going to ever get them back in. And I just think this marijuana thing has far-reaching consequences that a lot of people haven't thought about. I used to be a public school teacher, and the federal government spent millions of dollars in drug education programs for young people in schools. And a good focus on that was marijuana, of course. And you just have to wonder about a culture who, you know, you try to teach young kids about the dangers of drugs and then you legalize them. It just, to me, is sending a terrible mixed message to young people. And the other comments I'd like to make is you're going to see, and I speak from experience here because I came from Washington. I'm a transplant. Don't hold that against me. And I was also on the Spokane County Planning Commission when the marijuana thing was passed. But there's study after study after study, and you can look this up, and I apologize, I don't have any of these in front of me at the moment, but showing the dangers of marijuana and some of the far-reaching consequences. And one of them, what you're going to see in this state, and especially the counties that pass this, is you're going to see an increase in DUIs, people driving under the influence of marijuana. You're also going to see an increase in violence, domestic violence in particular. Those two side effects are well documented in all kinds of research and papers that you can find online and look up and find the studies. And the other thing we dealt with in Spokane County was that some of these marijuana processing and growing operations were placed in agricultural areas, in agricultural neighborhoods. And if you know anything about the processing and growing, it produces a very strong odor. And it smells like a skunk is what it smells like. And we didn't cite those in industrial areas away from neighborhoods. And that was a big mistake. I felt sorry for people who bought, you know, spent their life savings and bought property out in the country and for their retirement. And then the zonings were changed to allow these grow operations. And, of course, nobody wants to live next to that because of the smell. And then if they wanted to move away, of course, they couldn't sell their property because nobody wanted to move in there.
Mike, good comments. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. 866-627-5483. Text us here as well. If the lines get busy, text a message. We can get that comment on 781-627-5483. We're going to address more of those things, Mike, with Colleen Smith here shortly, Executive Director of Youth Connections, to talk about substance abuse prevention. Very good points there. One of those questions I had on my list too, Senator Ellsworth, is zoning. Did this new rule and the policy behind the law adequately address some of those zoning concerns that Mike had talked about?
Yeah, I think it does to some extent, but I think there's, again, a lot of trial and error here. Most importantly is local control. So local, you know, county, if they want to restrict it to an industrial area, they have that option. So there's not a catch-all. In other words, it is true local control. So I've seen counties that, and I believe it was Billings that said, you know, these shops have to be, you know, in an industrial area that are going to sell this, and they're not going to allow it within the city limits. But the county itself will allow it. So it is truly about local control, and this is where I think our voices are most powerful. So if, you know, your local county government doesn't want to allow it, the citizens don't want to allow it, then get on the ballot and change it. And I mean, there's the true power, is the ability on the local level to, you know, manage to those issues.
Well, allow.
And it's a valid point.
Allow, I mean, you can disallow by vote the sale of it, but you can't disallow the possession of it and the use of it because that's legalized statewide. And I know you made that point with me earlier too. Let's take one more comment for Shane Morgeau as well, Shane, state senator, and then Colleen Smith will join us here after a quick break. About those addiction programs, about those treatment programs, how did you guys try to address that? Do you think you adequately addressed it? Is that another one of those things where, well, let's do this, and then let's not be afraid to reassess if this is working or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a strong believer in individual choice, you know, and doing our best to educate people, make sure people understand, you know, the how to use marijuana and when to use it, and to make that own individual choice if they want to, right? So, you know, there are things in the law that address healing and addiction. There's funds put into that for treatment and recovery programs. We have the HEART program, which has $6 million. that needed to be transferred to the Marijuana Healing and Ending Addiction Program that was established. So we have things in there for education to talk about these sorts of things. But at the end of the day, right, I think it comes down to, you know, educating folks, talking about the uses culturally and what's appropriate and what might not be. One thing I would add to the conversation from earlier is that the licenses are canopy licensed. So these are covered facilities that are in the law. And also there's required distances from schools, churches, synagogues. So that's been added into the legislation that there has to be specific distances from those places. And then lastly, for businesses, there are businesses that I think are still out there kind of, you know, trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing. You know, if you have questions, go to the Department of Revenue's website. There's the notices on there for the rules, for rulemaking, for the processes, for licensing. They're all on that website. If you go to the Montana Department of Revenue, you can go and find those. So I would definitely take a look at those for businesses to make sure you're complying with all those rules.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. And I know go ahead, Jason.
I have one more second.
Yep.
You know, we are in the interim, and the one thing that we are working in economic affairs and will be throughout the rest of this year is additional rules. So I would just say rest of the information, and if you really want to participate, you know, come in, testify as we're standing up these additional rules, because we're, you know, we still have a lot of work to do, and we're going to be nimble. And if things are out there that happen and we need rules to address certain issues, you know, the legislature is open for that. And we're going to continue to study this and look at this. That's one of our major priorities. And rulemaking authority is there. So, you know, we haven't just, you know, done it, said this is it, and we're walking away. We're continuing the conversation, and we want citizens to engage.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. I'll just do a basic search, and all that information you can find in terms of where to contact people, the Montana Department of Justice or the Montana Department of Revenue, the Cannabis Control Division. Instead of giving out the web addresses and email addresses, they're out there. Just do a web search. If you do not have the internet, then text me here, and I will send you information. Feel free to do that, 781-627-5483. So my thanks to Jason Ellsworth, state senator from Hamilton area, also president pro temp for the 2021 session, Republican and Democratic state senator north of him, Shane Morjo for Senate District 48. You guys, I appreciate your willingness, okay? We'll come on back and talk more. I will have questions. Our audience obviously has a lot of questions regarding this as well. So thanks for being available, you guys, and thanks for working on it. I know it's not an easy thing and probably not the most favorite thing to do out there, but we got to be sensible about this. And I think Montana can handle it better than Colorado did or better than Oregon did. So I appreciate those efforts.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Shane and Jason.